Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
It's a day.
It is a day.
This feels this is
Thursday, but Thursdays are supposed to be exciting.
Are they?
Yeah.
I don't ever remember anyone saying Thursdays are supposed to be exciting. I don't remember that being part of the societal contract we all agreed to.
No, but Bo Bishop used to call it, First Friday? He used to celebrate the idea that Thursdays you're that much closer to the weekend. It's a fun thing, Thursdays.
Yeah, but isn't the fun thing that you're going to get through today so tomorrow can be Friday?
I think some people turn Thursdays into their Friday. That's not me or you, but
no,
I think...
it can't be because we're not in college
anymore.
Remember
when you were in college, though? Thursdays were awesome.
Yeah.
Thursdays were the time to be alive
And if you had gumption, you can make Wednesday that too.
So that's why I went to one thing I liked about going to a school that I went to is that Tuesday and Wednesday and Monday legitimately were for my school. Other places you could find parties and do anything all you wanted. For my school, it was it got a little quieter. You just kind of drank in your dorm room. You just kind of hung out there until you turned 21. You just kind of drank in your dorm room, hung out. And then Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, that's when you got things going. But Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday were quiet times, essentially.
I'll have you know, any college that had Nick Wilson in it, any day of the week could be a party if you really, really wanted it.
I mean, I've thought about this a lot. My brother went to KU, and part of the reason why he did fine there, but if I had gone to KU, if I had gone to a school that legitimately any day of the week you could treat it like a Thursday, that might have been problematic for me.
It's pretty funny. We both ended up at the same place.
Yeah.
Meaning two different paths, two different types of college and experience. One of us graduated, one of us didn't, and we ended in the same place.
Should we let the record show that I was the one that graduated at least?
Yes.
Because Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, maybe the downtime. Maybe if Bowling Green had more of that Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and you got up for Thursday action, maybe it would have gone a little bit different.
I don't think so.
I was thinking about this.
I was the problem.
For some reason.
It wasn't Bowling Green. It was me.
For some reason, I was thinking about this. Why in radio? Listen, producers can be any type of grades or any type of anything, right? Jake Murren, I believe, was a straight A student. I'm pretty sure his grades were pretty, I think they were pretty strong, were they not?
He strikes me as a hard worker. I don't know. He's a straight A student.
I feel like producers in the business, they tend to have better grades than the host in many ways. I feel like most hosts that do sports radio, they just live in that perfect B to C range.
Yeah.
No.
If you weren't given the you're too smart to be wetting around like this conversation, are you really even a sports radio host?
Yeah, I mean,
I got that once a semester.
I feel like that's part of the DNA of the job is to understand that you can try, but you don't have to try that hard.
Yeah, it's like when F around and find out, but you just never find out.
Yeah.
Yeah, you just F around. And things, somehow they tend to work out.
I mean, is there anybody at the station that had an awesome GPA at any point? I mean, I had a good college GPA. I ended up with a 3.7 college GPA, but I'm telling you, I did not try. We were Dean's List and everything. I did not try at all in the slightest bit, though. Trust me, anybody here would have gotten the same exact grades. It was an okay thing to do.
I'll tell you who did well. Jeff Phelps.
I don't know.
I think, because again, Jeff, obviously not just a radio guy, a TV guy. I think Jeff would have been a quality student.
I think most wacky radio host type people that you meet, because there's that wacky component to it all. We don't take anything seriously enough to go ahead to even get that. And Jeff is a very serious. Jeff's a serious.
I was going to say Jeff's not wacky. That's serious probably why
human.
I thought that.
Yeah.
Same with Baskin. I bet you Baskin had decent grades. I would say decent.
Hey Jake, did I make that up for you, or did you get 4.0? Were you perfect A student?
Yeah, perfect days.
I knew it. See, I don't know. You told me that at some point for some reason. But maybe that's why Jake is the producer and we're sitting here being the host. Not because there's any sort of way.
Yeah,
but
Jake, you're capped.
Because your brain.
Welcome to the show.
I'm sorry, your brain. It just works. You're the person that would do the straight A student. You'd be the one to send emails, be the one to respond to emails in an according fashion.
Yeah.
Be able to call people, kind of being a producer. You have to send out a lot of emails, do a lot of. You do a lot of stuff that really works in a 9-to-5 environment, whereas me and you don't.
Yeah.
I've sent 5 emails all year. I don't even know if half of them got to where they're supposed to be going.
The implication here, and we always love the implication on the show, is that Jake is capped because he's too hard of a worker.
I think that might be the case.
Oof.
That might be the case. I'm sorry, Jake.
Inside.
Well, not that he's never aspired to be an on-air host, so that'd be different. If he aspired to be an on-air host, I wouldn't tell him these things.
Hey, you know we have other producers at the station who might be listening who this applies to, who might actually have aspirations. They're going to use the transitive property on this one to...
Mac doesn't have to. He didn't get 4.0 grades. Mac sits in our wheelhouse.
Absolutely not.
He's like, I feel pretty good about this conversation.
Out of anything, I am more aligned with Nick Wilson in that, so I feel pretty good.
There we go.
I also think, is he like us on steroids because he lives
more
at home
aligned
with
Nick Wilson? Did you not graduate from college?
I mean, yeah, I got through college.
I don't know
what that means.
Now.
Not the original college, but I got through some college.
What does that mean?
The School of Hard Knocks? But I don't know, what are we doing here?
I know nothing about your college journey.
I also didn't finish at the original university.
I know nothing. What was your original university?
Yeah, I went to...
As far as I know, you didn't even go to college now.
I did the community college route.
Oh, community college. Community college to then where?
I went over to Ohio Media School.
Oh. Okay.
You didn't graduate college, okay, fella.
No, I didn't.
All right.
I
also graduated from OMS with love and respect, but you didn't graduate college.
Like I said,
college.
The Nick Wilson route.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, as a roundabout way of doing it. That took about too many minutes to figure out. So now that we've completely doxed each other's educational histories and also put producers in their place, it should be noted, maybe we should put Shador in his place, Mary Kay Cabot on with the Morning Boys, and Jason Lloyd, who hates Christmas, by the way.
I think it's big Christmas.
Yeah. That's the war on Christmas.
I told you, there's a reason why in my house we celebrate Hanukkah.
That's...
because my wife is Jewish. It's not an anti-John Kenzie Noel take.
This one's going for the Marconi. Mary Kay was on with the Morning Boys and Jason, and had an interesting take on the four quarterback situation for the Browns.
Initially, they were planning probably to keep three in Joe, Kenny, and Dylan when they say pre-draft. Mm-hmm. And then when Shador was added to the mix, he was added as a developmental player, basically, not someone that they really looked at as a week one starter. So he was kind of a add-on. And I just think that there is a chance that they could keep all four.
So I don't think it takes too much straining of your ears here to kind of figure out. It sure seems like the three quarterbacks and then a bit of a distance in Shador Sanders.
Yeah, so the only thing on this that I like naturally felt was the idea that, like, yeah, right now, what is the Browns told you in any sort of way that they think higher of Shador Sanders than what Mary Kay said? Like, they've given us nothing. If you're looking for breadcrumbs with the idea that Shador Sanders is in the same stratosphere as the other three quarterbacks, the Browns themselves, even though you might believe he's got a lot of talent, I believe he's got a lot of talent, but the Browns themselves, in taking him in the fifth round and not giving him number one reps, in basically limiting him relative to the other three quarterbacks, they themselves in actions and words have not told you anything to differ that
and
to differ with that.
And kind of to credit what Mary Kay's saying, even though I'm going to roundabout disagree here in a minute, we're still so early in this that it makes sense that that's still the case. If he started out behind and clearly behind the other three quarterbacks, well, we're not even to camp yet. And camp, I think, is a chance where either he or Dylan Gabriel can kind of catch fire and make a real run at a job.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think we've even seen any of the, I'm not going to call it ramifications, but like almost the reward system attached to the idea that Shador looked good in the time that he was there in mandatory minicamp. I feel like they had a set plan for what they wanted to do for that little stretch. They operated that plan. Then if he impressed the way that he seemed like he impressed, when they regroup 5 weeks from now, we should be singing a different tune.
Now, the only thing I would say is, and I know Mary Kay's saying this is how the Browns view Shador. When we start talking about developmental quarterback, the Browns' framing of Shador has really, really annoyed me. Mm. And I know what they're trying to do. They're trying to hammer in expectations. so that you get in the no-lose situation where if Shador surprises everybody and at any point steps on the field this year, or if he steals the job at any point, oh my, look at the journey where he's come from. But that's not, it's really about if Shador doesn't do anything this year, you can go, well, he was a developmental quarterback. So I understand what they're doing. I just think we've reached a point where it's incredibly disingenuous to say that, because Shador in the pre-draft process, very similar to this idea of nobody had attacked Colorado's offense in the pre-draft process. Nobody had said Shador was a developmental prospect. Right. If anything, he was a, you can plug and play. You just might not get the same ceiling as maybe a Cam Ward.
Well, and then also in using him in that fashion, Nick, does not take advantage of the idea that you took him in the fifth round trying to take advantage of the fact that you got so much value out of letting it slide and then taking him where you did. Like, part of the advantage of seeing someone go in the fifth round the way that the Browns did was that you could get second, third, even late first round value for this guy, and they're just not using him in that way at this point.
Now, we do have a little bit of word here coming from Berea from the Browns, is the Browns have just announced they've got they're going to have 8 free open practices to Browns fans this year. We just got the press release.
Well, that's more than what, 5 last year, I think, is what it was.
Hey, we're trending upwards.
You got big mad last year, Adam, for that, and I think rightfully so.
I always will, because I just
remember it.
I got to tell you, my uncle and my dad and I, we didn't have, you know, my family had not a lot of money, and free practices were where I fell in love. Like, mm-hmm. I always was a Browns fan, but really, I mean, Darren Shiverini signing my hat, or Madre Hill signing my hat.
It's lifetime memories.
Even Tim, I mean, I don't want to say even Tim. Tim Couch was the face of the franchise at that time, and he was so incredibly nice to my family, and I've just never forgotten it. So I really do believe that I think that this allows fans who might not be able to afford a game, and I think this is more important than ever.
Oh, for sure it is. They have to speak to these fans.
There's just a reality that when you go to Brook Park, there's going to be a segment of us, and I consider myself on this. Guys, it's expensive now for me to take my family to games. I don't think I'm going to be able to afford to go to games at Brook Park. And granted, there are other ways. We're very lucky in the sports media to be able to go to things because of our connections. But like, if it just comes to like, hey, I want to take my 3 daughters and my wife to,
for sure.
I don't think Brook Park's for me. So like, I think this is even more important. So I don't know if I'm ready to give him kudos yet, but yeah, I'm very happy. Is a tried and true kid who grew up on free practices that we got 8 free open practices for the Browns this year. Some of the dates, by the way, and apparently we got themed days here. Friday, July 25th, Saturday the 26th, Monday the 28th, Tuesday the 29th, we're talking July, and July 30th, and then 3 of the first 4 days in August as well. So I'm sure you guys go ahead and search for that. We'll put it out on 92.3 The Fan's social media, but we love to hear that. We really do.
Yeah, I think it's great. I mean, we've been going to these training camps for so many years, and one of the cool things is not only getting to watch the kids like have so much fun, but then watch the players interact with the kids, and you just get a little bit of a different viewpoint and everything, and it's always a good time.
216-474-0092. So specific to the Mary Kay audio, if the Browns view Shador Sanders as a developmental prospect, does that mean Shador is behind the other 3 quarterbacks? We've got plenty to get you on the show. We've got quick hits coming up at 2:40. Nick Shook, Cleveland Zone, and also NFL Network extraordinaire. He's joining us at 3. We'll talk a little bit about Shador. We'll talk the quarterback position. We'll also pick his brain on Quinshon Judkins and his upward mobility this year for the Cleveland Browns. Kristen Peek, at NBA analyst for Hoops HQ and NBA TV, joins us at 4:20. We'll talk about possibilities for the Cavs in the second round tonight. Also, some of our favorite NBA draft moves of the last 24 hours. We will get into some of that as well, but is Shador behind the other 3 quarterbacks? And an unflattering comparison for Shador Sanders. I don't think JP is going to like this one in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. Should be noted, Sportico is reporting that Cavs owner Dan Gilbert is looking to sell a stake in his NBA franchise, retaining Allen and Company to explore selling up to 15% of the team. This stuff's always interesting to me, like the idea that Dan bought the Cavs for $375 million back mm-hmm. in 2005. And if he sold, the last valuation by Forbes for the Cavs was just under $4 billion. Meaning if he just sold 10%, he's going to clear the original $375 million investment. If he sells for 15, he's going to do a little bit better than even that.
This is why I always tell people never to feel bad for billionaires and for owners of sports teams when they're crying poor in certain aspects of their financials.
So this could be a couple things. At one, it could just be wants to get that $400 million. That could be part of this. Two, could be to help offset the cost of paying for the WNBA franchise, which the Cavs have been approved for. Which Cleveland has been approved for. And three, Danny is 63, and he has had some health problems. I think the intention is to keep the club within the family if anything were to happen to him.
Mm-hmm.
And so this one way of taking care of this would be he would be able to maybe offset some of the estate tax with the Cavaliers, which could help the family down the line. So maybe some just forward planning. In the article, in fairness, it didn't say why he's looking to sell up to 15%.
Did it give a hint as to who the 15% is going to go to, or is that the type of thing we don't know yet?
I don't think it's been decided yet, because it said that 15% could be divvied up by multiple people. So,
which we've seen a lot within a lot of the new more people that are entering the owner space is actually these little groups that collectively come in, and then like it's like LeBron and the group with Boston, for instance. Like that's a whole group of people.
I just think it'd be interesting. So here's something that I don't know and that I haven't really necessarily reached out to find out about. I do wonder, 15% is not insignificant. It's also not 40%, right? So I do wonder, Dan loves to invest in his ball club. I do wonder if naturally this would end up maybe changing that, because he's been one of the few NBA owners that's been willing to go into the tax the way he has. I wonder if having partners now might change that.
Or he could just be like, oh, the partners don't want to pay the $80 million for Ty Jerome. Let's put this on them now.
Oh, I don't think Dan would do that.
I don't think so either.
Seems like a pretty straight ahead guy.
I don't think so either.
As billionaires go, I should add that.
This doesn't feel to me like when Cuban got rid of his share of the, or part of his share of the Mavericks. And then they're like, oh, but you'll still have controlling interest and all this other stuff. And then it turns out he had none of that.
Still the wildest thing about that is, when the Lakers were bought and Jeannie Buss retained her position as governor, it was put in a contract. What's wild is that Mark Cuban didn't have that put into a contract.
Yeah, but I think, I've heard some people around L.A. that are suggesting and have suggested since that L.A. thing that Jeannie Buss is, she's going to have the title of that, but she's going to have about as much say as Mark Cuban ended up having when it was all said and done. It's going to be more of a figurehead thing than it's going to be an actual, hey, let's make basketball decisions thing.
We like Jeannie Buss, so that's okay. So again, quick hits coming up in about 15 minutes. That's the latest news in sports here, but we're successfully bring to air, I think for the first time, Frank Schwab on Yahoo Sports. I'm going to continue to go unflattering comparison for Shedeur Sanders.
Suggest that Shedeur Sanders isn't going to be the locked-in starter by week one and probably for the next decade. A lot of these Shedeur backers just lose their minds. How dare you? A very weird phenomenon. I wasn't expecting it. I wasn't ready for it. It reminds me in some ways, a completely different example, but in some ways very similar, of Tim Tebow, where people just lose their minds about Tim Tebow. There's no rational conversation about Tim Tebow. And it's the same way with Shedeur. There's posts that go up on social media of him throwing a pass that literally any NFL quarterback can throw. And the caption will just be like, how could the NFL possibly have let this guy slip to the fifth round? He's going to be a Hall of Famer. What are we doing here? But yes, Shedeur is an oddball case of a fifth round pick who is the most talked about rookie in the...
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
The NFL right now.
All right, what do you think of that comparison?
It definitely is an oddball case. There's no denying that. I think the Tebow thing is a little much. I see the correlation that he's trying to make. Tebow, by the way, for as much as people want to say about Tebow as a pro quarterback, Tebow was one of the, if not the best college quarterback I ever watched play from a success standpoint and from a an accomplishment standpoint. I mean, there's not more of a decorated college quarterback that you'll find than Tim Tebow. And he came in with a lot of praise and a lot of fanfare, and he couldn't back it up. And
ironically, he should have been a fifth round pick too.
Well, yeah, I mean, think about it. In many ways, like he didn't have it. He didn't have the arm. He didn't have the talent in the slightest bit. Like, there was a lot attached to Tim Tebow, but the hype was real, and the hype was there. I think the difference here, at least in my opinion, is that for as many Tebow lovers as there weren't people lining up to watch Tim Tebow just fall on his face. I think people got annoyed with the Tebow conversation the way people get annoyed with the Shador conversation in many ways. But Shador and that speeding ticket last week taught me that there are just as many detractors, if not more, and people lined up to go ahead and laugh at him if he fails, than people that are lined up to say, congratulations, good job.
I will say, I do think there were plenty of people that wanted Tim Tebow to fail because they didn't buy into the holier than thou bit.
Once he started playing like baseball in the minor leagues and stuff like that, it's no one took him serious as an NFL player.
I mean, the Broncos did. They drafted him with the 25th pick.
I mean, but it really never looked like, oh, he's our franchise quarterback. He's the guy that we're going to put everything around.
The first year?
He got to a playoff game. Yes, he did. But it was late in the season that he got put in. It wasn't as if he started the season and got the whole runway to go ahead and do that with.
I think where it's different is Tim had a lot of the noise and a lot of the how dare you came from the Christian community, who might have been coming to football or more of a casual fan that was just a fan of Tim Tebow. And so I think, whereas with Shador, what's wild about Shador is there isn't really that religious backing. It's just a bunch of people on social media who follow him on social media. I mean, is it wrong to say he's the first influencer quarterback in the NFL?
Yeah, I think that's wrong. That suggests that he doesn't influencer quarterback. Give me your description of influencer quarterback.
I mean, it's somebody who is popular in a huge part because of their social media footprint, which...
See, but he's different, though. And so, like, Tebow came from a background that didn't involve football in the slightest bit. Like, the part of Shador that's different is that part of why people love Shador, some people love Shador, is because they love Deion. And they loved everything that Deion was doing at Colorado. And the hype was attached to Deion at Colorado. And the Shador hype, followed the Deion hype. Whereas with Tebow, I mean, that's him. It's been playing for Urban Meyer, yes, but that wasn't because Tebow's dad was anything of consequence.
Well, but how much of Shador's, how much of the unheralded fact that Shador is a fifth round pick and maybe the most talked about player in this draft? I mean, even on draft night, what was the big gripe of like, hey, can you shut the hell up about Shador and talk about Cam Ward for a second? How much of that is the fact that he is an influencer? And I don't mean it in a negative way, by the way. I'm not trying to infer a negative connotation, but I think that's where...
I think both worlds were ready to collide, and only one part of that is doing the heavy lifting right now, and that is the fact that he does have a large presence. Like, Paul Skeens has a very large Instagram presence, a lot to do with the fact that he is dating Livy Dunn, but he's got a large influencer following, and it's like, well, okay, but he's also a great baseball player. The two of those things met in the middle. If Paul Skeens sucked at baseball, he's still dating Livy Dunn, he'd have a lot of attention on himself.
Well, but I do think this is where, to me, it becomes really super interesting, because the first influencer turned pro athlete where there was just a lot of hype, not just because of the athleticism, was Zion. I remember that kind of slow build. Obviously, I was in the Carolinas
at the time.
He was down in Spartanburg. And you could not, I mean, the hype was just wafting up.
People thought he was going to be the next LeBron MJ of that caliber.
Yeah, and then you found a buffet. But like, but I remember being like, oh, I wonder when this sport will get one. It's wild to me that you can't look at, if we talk about the most important position, yes, there are NFL quarterbacks with huge digital footprints. That's because it started with football. That meaning started with NFL football. Johnny Manziel 5 years later would have been the first guy. He wasn't. It was still very much an underground thing because we didn't have TikTok. We had, I don't want to say early Twitter, but that was really when Twitter started to spike and Facebook was still prominent. But I just think, like, of the social media era, Shador is the most fully formed digital influencer that also had success in college, as opposed to NFL quarterback that is an elite quarterback that also had social media influencing experience. I just think that's fascinating. It's not a pro or a knock on the kid. I just think it's that this, because he's not going to be the last. No, is maybe the bigger point.
None of these other, look at the Instagram follower accounts of all of these draft players for this last year. I mean, I looked at it previously. I might be off by a couple here and there. But Shedeur was like 2.6 million top ahead. And I think the next closest was like 250,000. Mm-hmm. Like he had 10 times as many followers. And that's just, I mean, part of that is the idea that he did play quarterback. But the other part of that is, yeah, he built up a big brand and he knew what he was doing. But it wouldn't have mattered. Like Shedeur wouldn't be as popular as he is unless he played quarterback at Colorado and he didn't have the dad that he has.
Yeah, but I mean, it's he didn't play at Alabama.
If he tried to do it on his own, is what I'm suggesting. Like when you say quarterback influencer, I think somebody that if he never played quarterback, he would be as much of a Instagram follow as he currently is, or anywhere in the same stratosphere. And I don't think that's true.
Okay, but the influencer thing still is first, right?
No, quarterback thing is first. Why we know him is because of quarterback. We don't know him because of Instagram. We know him because of quarterback. So, like, when you say Instagram quarterback and you make that suggestion, I think you're implying that, like, we know him because of his TikToks and his dances and everything like that. No, we know him because he played quarterback for his dad, a Hall of Famer, at Colorado and is a really successful college quarterback.
I just think it's really interesting that people are, you know, they're, to credit what you said at the beginning of this, there are people that want to watch him fail because they don't want a quarterback influencer or influencer quarterback to succeed. And what they're missing is Shedeur should be, if I am Arch Manning or if I am Drew Aller or if I am any of these dudes, I'm paying attention to this and saying, yes, absolutely. If I go into the NFL and I succeed, I can make $400, $600, $1 billion. But I might be leaving money on the table. And so it's interesting that I think people want Shedeur to fail in part because of the social influencer stuff. And I think the cat's out of the bag. I think a lot of these young kids are going to make so much more money. Like, dude, Vanessa watches this one YouTube influencer who's like, she's like home renovator and gardening. And she's just walking around a flea market talking.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, what the hell is this?
I watch all sorts of golf influencers. They do the same thing. Well, they don't even golf half the time. They're just talking. They're just hanging out.
There's nothing meaningful about it. It's just existing.
That's how people watch and take in a lot of content these days.
And so for me, it's like, okay, do something. Like, make me a bicycle clown. But I think, like, it's so funny. Like, there's part of what Frank said that I understand and maybe concur with. But I just think it's interesting that idea of people wanting them to fail, because it's like, you don't understand. It's open. Now the influencer things come into the NFL, and you're going to see, and not just NFL, I mean college too, and you're going to see the translation of that across the board. It was just a matter of time. It just happened to be Shedeur.
Well, and it's a golden parachute if it all doesn't work out, too. You know, I mean, think about it. You know, back in the day, it used to be if you're Brady Quinn and it didn't work out, then you ended up on a college football TV set. And that if you didn't do that, then you were out of luck. You're selling insurance. But like you had to have enough popularity to be able to land on that. And there's only a few select of those jobs. You build up your brand, you build up everything in college, and it can take you for a long time here.
Are Shedeur and Tim Tebow comparable the way Frank Schwab says that they are? And a move of significance from the Cleveland Browns today, what it says about the Browns, coming up in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
From the latest news and rumors around the sports world,
Angel.
To the sound bites you need to hear,
hurry.
It's Quick Hits.
The Browns releasing Obo Okoronkwo today and signing kicker Andre Schmidt. Releasing Obo saves them $3.36 million against the cap. What do you make of this move by the Cleveland Browns?
Well, Obo was not very good last year. Like, there's just no other real way to put it. He was not very effective in many ways. And so when your overall PFF grade has you at 192nd out of 211 edge rushers, and you also have guys in Alex Wright and Isaiah McGuire that you want to see play, I think it's a pretty logical move.
So I'm torn between a little bit here. One, I hated the framing of this. I think it was Rappaport that was like, maybe it was Schefter. Big ticket, former big ticket free agent. It's like, he signed for $18 million, $19 million.
I thought that was Mary Kay that put it that way.
I didn't see her. Or,
well, I said the big ticket thing exactly, because I had the same thought you thought, which was, I thought that was interesting.
But what's interesting is they clearly had brought in Joe Tryon Choyinka, somebody who they like, who, unlike Obo, is a former first-round pick. And in the end, we're talking about a third edge rusher. If you were going to keep him post June 1, if you weren't going to designate him as a June 1 cut, I don't know why you didn't wait till cut down just to see if injuries happen. They love McGuire. They love Wright. I think they do like Tryon Soyinka. That's fine. You can like him. One or more of those guys could not be healthy, and you could be right back to needing a Obo Okoronkwo type player.
Yeah, I did wonder if they tried to shop him around a little bit too, and the NFL was like, no, we're not interested.
I mean, I remember hearing Washington at one point, but I mean, the most.
Oh, that's right. I did hear a Washington thing as well.
The most you were going to get is maybe a fifth or sixth round pick.
And that'd be stealing. Again, he really was not very good last year. Which is odd. Just one more point on that. It's so odd because remember when he came from Houston and there was that graphic that came out and the pressures that he had the final year he was in Houston, he was top five in the NFL with this pressure rate. And it was right there. It was like him. And then two spots higher than that was Myles Garrett. Like he came with a lot of fanfare and a lot of belief.
Year one, he was really good.
He was much better in year one. Yes, he was. And it's just so odd that he just kind of fell off. And I do wonder how much of this is the fact that we saw so many people, MJ Emerson included in this list of very talented football players, that when you put them on a three-win team and an offense that does nothing, they all of a sudden just stink. I don't think that's a coincidence that we had a lot of instances of players we watched be good and then last year just not be good while the offense was miserable.
Hey, that's a good point.
Okay, let's get to the next thing now. I don't have much to add on this, but I did think it's important to at least note and put out there because I know stadium honks out there care about this. The Bengals and Hamilton County have agreed to principal terms for a new lease that keeps the team in Cincinnati playing home games at Paycor Stadium through June of 2036 with 10 additional option years that could extend the lease through June of 2046. So the Bengals will not be getting a new stadium. They're going to stay in their current stadium, and they're going to do some of the renovation that we talked about here with our stadium that isn't happening.
Delay, delay, delay. So this is the Browns get theirs now, and this is a decade from now you come back, probably a little less than a decade from now, but 5 to 7 years from now you come back and let's see where the finances are. Is that a fair read on it?
It makes sense to me, yeah. I mean, they only got so much money to dole out to these places and these stadiums, even though what was interesting is that they did have in that in some of the language in what Daryl was reporting yesterday that they'd set aside money that he thought was for Paycor State.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
And it might be just before the renovation side of it now, but it's interesting.
Omaha! Baskin and Phelps had Guardians hurler Slade Ciccone on today, and Jeff Phelps asked this question.
I saw your middle name.
Yes.
I'm sure you're the only guy with the middle name Gustav playing in the major leagues.
Wait, Gustav?
That's what it said.
No, that must be some spoof. You got spooked.
What is it?
You got duped.
What's your middle name?
Gustav would be sick, though. That'd be Slade.
Wouldn't that be that'd be a name and a half?
That would be nasty.
What's your middle name?
Slade Devin. Devin Ciccone. Slade Devin.
Devin.
Am I the only person who wants a weekly with Slade Ciccone right now?
Slade's awesome.
Slade can hang.
It does on his Wikipedia say Slade Gustav Ciccone.
This, by the way, big stock down moment for Wikipedia.
Yeah, Wikipedia is supposed to be as accurate as like the the British Encyclopedia, all these other type of like really well known. That's wild.
I just want to know.
That's unfortunate. Oh no, it's fixed. Oh, so here's the problem. If you click into Wikipedia, it says Slade Devin Ciccone, but outside of Wikipedia, if you don't click in it and do the overview, that's where it says Slade Gustav Ciccone. So Jeff didn't click in the Wikipedia.
This is why it's clickbait. That's what it is right there. Typical Phelps clickbait.
I didn't even know they could do that. I didn't know like one looked one way outside, and then once you get in, it's different. Maybe it's edited, but it's not edited throughout the entire stretch. Maybe that's what that is right now. I think Slade's people were like, oh no, this is wrong.
Jeff recovered very well. I think Slade recovered even better. I'll say it again. I want that man on his weekly. He can hang.
Is that embarrassing to get the middle name wrong?
No.
I don't think so.
No, because you're at the whims of the internet, man. You're just trying to do things that are fun. He tried to do something fun. Sometimes you get popped on that. Although Slade Gustav Ciccone is better than Slade Devin.
Well, Slade was probably really happy people weren't just focusing on the fact that his name is Slade.
I think there was actually a follow-up on that where, how did you end up with Slade too?
Mm.
Yeah. Do you think he cares about people say? If I had a name like Slade, that's big name energy right there.
It's hit or miss. He could love it. He could hate it. It's really, there's no in between there. I would never do an outside the box name.
Did you ever want to change your name as a kid?
No. And I never was bothered by my name except until I watched this Toronto series. And then you're reminded of Jonathan Classe.
Mm.
And you're just like, this jerk.
Yeah.
Just, I mean, I've seen weird ways of spelling it. With the A and the O in the back and everything, but just taking out the H completely? What are we doing?
Yeah, my dad, who knew how to say the name, just refused to call Johnny Peralta anything other than Jahani. Yeah. He didn't like Johnny Peralta, that's why.
Okay.
My dad's the nicest guy, but when he got mad, he was very passive-aggressive, and poor Johnny Peralta took one on the chin.
Mm. Omaha! Portland Trailblazers, big draft night acquisition. Malika Andrews on ESPN.
With the 11th pick in the 2025 NBA Draft, the Portland Trailblazers select Cedric Coward from Washington State University.
So the Portland Trailblazers select Colin Coward here.
I knew you would love this because you love Colin.
It had me dying.
And he tweeted about it.
Could you imagine you just watching the NBA draft and them saying your name instead? It's the funniest thing. But you know where she got it from, obviously. And that's great. It's so good.
I think what's wild is they traded down. I actually had this as one of the. So that Cedric Coward ends up in Memphis. And if Memphis is trading up for a player, by the way, you know that they're going to hit on him because Memphis actually is sneaky great at drafting. But then Portland at 16 ends up taking Yang Hansen out of China.
Oh, and people were suggesting that it was just for the sale of the team.
But
you get in the China market and then it boosts up the sale.
But they've started to dub him Chinese Jokic. How unfair is that? The kid, I mean.
Well, like, so he was projected to be a second round pick.
35th ranked player by ESPN. And Portland's like, not only do we draft this kid, overdraft him, we're going to call him, we're going to let everyone start to refer to him as Chinese Jokic.
It's good branding. Do you think there was anything to that idea that if they're getting ready to sell the team, they want it to be as popular as they possibly can in China? Up the value a little bit?
That would just be the most disastrous reason to take.
Which sounds on brand. Sounds on brand, does it not?
I mean, NBA teams do stuff for the dumbest reasons all the time, so I guess I'll have to lean into it. Omaha! I'm also known as Chinese Jokic. Arizona wing Carter Bryant went 14th last night to the San Antonio Spurs. Upon him being drafted, I witnessed him kissing both his sisters on the lips.
Hmm.
Is this the real life equivalent to none of his teammates going to Bo Callahan's B-Day party? Because I am all the way out on Carter Bryant.
I've
never kissed any of my sisters on the lips.
I didn't see this. No, I never have. I have one sister, and I never have, and I never would.
I have five stepsisters, and I have my sister Kristen.
I gotta see the video.
If my sister
was it a peck? What was it?
No. Well, I mean, yeah, they it wasn't tongue.
I didn't know if they held it. I didn't know. Like, I didn't know how deep
there
we're getting
was
into
no
this.
Lingering.
Well, he made it sound. And some families do that. Not a family I've ever been a part of. We need to make that abundantly clear.
If my
but
sister
some families do that.
Ever tried to kiss me on the lips at any point in my life, I would have Heismaned her into another township.
Listen, I think it's weird. I'm not. There's no other take that I have on this, but some families don't. I don't know what to tell you.
Like, it's to me.
Do you ever kiss your kids on the lips?
Yeah, it's my babies. I made them. It's the most harmless, innocuous thing. But not my sisters, man.
Yeah, we've come up with this recently because in the past couple weeks, Charlotte has gone for she's gone for kisses, and I've just kind of like I've kind of like moved my cheek, you know, like put the cheek in the way. I just don't know. I don't know if it's weird or not. It doesn't seem weird to me.
It's not weird. That's your baby girl.
I know. It seems kind of sweet and cute, but also in the same respect, I don't want us to be like, you know, you got to cut that off at some point, right?
Yeah. Well, okay. Like the kid's gonna cut it off. Like,
is that what that is?
My Livy won't do it, but she'll like lean in and be like, do like the, oh, you can kiss me on the forehead thing if she's feeling nice. The twins still do, though, and it's the sweetest thing in the world. Because I know within the next year, it's gone. So that's the thing. And now obviously,
so Carter and obviously it's siblings, it's different with what we're talking about here. But with siblings, there should have been a cutoff date, is
about
the suggestion.
4 years. Once you get past 4 years, if you're kissing each other on the lips, we got some West Virginia nonsense going on. We can't have that.
Yeah, by the way, the internet is like blocked this out completely. I can't find it.
Yeah, you know why?
Good on the internet.
Because they were... Because
everyone was just as creeped out.
Certain parts of the internet are okay with stepsister and stepbrothers.
There's so few people talking about this.
Certain parts of the internet. But we're not doing...
I don't know. There's so few people talking about this.
Blood brothers and blood sisters here. Right?
That, like, when I type in Carter Bryant, then the only thing that pops up is like your tweet on it. I'm going to have to do some investigative work here.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you right now. I'm like Pablo Torre on this bad boy. He's got NFL collusion. I got sister kissers. All right, and I will not stop until sister on the lips, sister kissing on the lips is done.
So we are not starting. Nick Wilson finds out.
We have normalized a lot of junk in 2025.
Yeah.
This is not the thing we're normalizing. All right, no, this is Nick Wilson snuffs it out. This is Nick Wilson puts it out. Not Nick Wilson puts out. That's a different Nick Wilson.
That's what I was thinking.
But the point is, no, we're not starting this. Stop it. You're an NBA player. This is weird. This is a no-fly zone. Respectfully, change how you family.
You also have the suit no shirt trend that's going around. Like the we call that the Chalamet.
Oh, who was the first? Was it Trey Johnson? He pulled it off because he's a skinny ass, so he barely has any chest. I was like, that you pulled that off. I would have.
I'm not seeing anything about kissing sisters on here.
Have you seen the video of him getting drafted?
Is that where he does it?
Yes.
Why is no one talking about this?
I don't know.
Are we sure it's his sisters?
They look exactly like him.
Okay, but there was no did the TV commentary on this go? He just kissed his sisters?
No.
Or are you making an assumption that it's sisters?
They look exactly.
It's a big assumption, Pablo Torre.
They look exactly like his mother. Okay. We got something else going on if it ain't sister kissing.
Might be stepsisters.
And the internet is okay with that.
The internet's very okay with that.
seems to be a wide swath of the internet is very okay with that. We have certain results to tell you about. Nick Shook, not a sister kisser. We're going to talk about the Shador phenomenon. We'll also talk about Kenny Pickett, week one starting in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.